Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of ServiceNow Insights. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. So let's catch up on the world of agentic AI and talk about what we should all be thinking about, both on the low level and of course that high level. Because whether you're building it, leading a team that's using it, or just trying to get a clear picture of what your company is actually investing in right now, this is the conversation to be in. Over the past several months, we've talked with some of the sharpest people working on agentic AI right here at ServiceNow. And today we're pulling the best of those conversations into one episode. Think of it as your 20-minute briefing into the world of what agentic AI actually is, how it works, what it can already do, and of course, how you know that you can trust it. And we'll start off hearing from Rita Castillo. She's the VP of AI Design here at ServiceNow. And Rita's going to walk us through the full evolution from basic automation to agentic systems and how the agent hierarchy at ServiceNow is organized. And then we'll look at a real-world working example, Agent Ada, built by our visiting researcher, Amrutha Ramesh. And Agent Ada shows exactly what an AI agent can do when you put it to work on your enterprise data. And to wrap up, we'll hear from the Insight Bench team with Isam Laraji and Anitha Raghavan, who are answering one of the hardest questions in AI right now. How do you actually know if the insights your agent is giving you are trustworthy? So let's get into it first with Rita Castillo.
So I think you really have to have a strong foundation if you're going to be a company that's going to provide AI to people. You can't just turn it on and be like, here's some AI. You really have to have something for it to build on. And so you really have to start with something strong, like ServiceNow is really good at workflows. Right, we're really good at data connection and data across silos. And like I was saying, we really nailed automation early on. And so we have scripted workflows and deterministic workflows, which means that they happen when you, like, exactly the way you say they should, right? Things that are repeatable, things that are automated. But, you know, we've moved into predictive workflows, you know, and that means that now we can kind of think about, like, oh, based on patterns of automation, what should we do next? How do we pre-fill forms? And this is kind of more classical AI. People call it machine learning, predictive intelligence. Those are kind of products that we've had for a while. And that has been really helpful because that, like, progresses workflows, like we're saying, progresses automation. And then we started doing conversational workflows, which is when generative AI and LLMs came on board and it became a huge consumer thing, right, with ChatGPT. People started understanding, hey, I can do things with natural language. And I can talk to machines. And at ServiceNow, that's really what you're doing is you're using natural language to do these workflows that we're really good at and we can already do. But you're not having to go through the drudgery of a form or a list or anything like that. And then that next magic moment was agentic, really. Agentic is like, oh, not only can we handle deterministic, well-known experience workflows, but now we can handle complex situations and variability and do that more autonomously on behalf of humans.
So, of course, the big question is, how did we actually get from basic automation all the way to agentic?
Yeah, I definitely say it's solving a lot of problems. It's helping us find new ways to do things. It's taking care of some of the stuff that we just really don't want to do all the time over and over. So it's really advancing automation, which is something we've already embraced. Right? Automation is a good thing. Automation is repetitive processes that you don't have to do and that you can expect to be done for you. AI is really leaning on top of that and helping us with these things that we already trust, but it's also taking it to the next level and handling more complex things for us.
Well, let me give an example and you tell me if it's right. Because okay. You know, I know a lot of people like myself are still trying to figure this out. You know, as much as we think we know about this stuff and forms and workflows and things, it's like there's that gap. So if I've got a scripted workflow, I've built all of this into a process, either ServiceNow or in my life or some platform, you're going to fill out all these forms. Yeah. The predictive is you put in your address. We know it's in California. We know the zip code. We that information's there, right? Okay, all right, good. I'm halfway there. Conversational is, hey, where does this guy live based off of some information that I kind of spit out, right?
Yeah, it's a change in the UI. You're not looking at a form, you're not filling it in. It's asking you and it's doing it behind the scenes.
Okay, and then agentic does in that really weak example I gave. What does agentic then do?
So agentic would understand if you are, let's say you're in a different location or has context of who you are or that you've moved recently or that you have two addresses in the system and you're likely to be at this one instead of that one because you're on vacation. And so agentic will be able to switch those variations. So if you're like, oh, no, I'm not, because the conversational one might say, oh, do you want me to send this to you at your home address? And you might say, oh, gosh, no, I'm visiting someone else. I needed to come to this address. It would not be able to really handle that very well. You'd have to say, like, please enter this, you know, all the things you need. Agentic would be able to look and be like, oh, are you at this location? Right? Because it knows more about you and it can switch the conversation to pick up those changes. And if you're like, yeah, and I want it 2 days instead of 1 day, and maybe that wasn't put into the pre-scripted one that you could change the shipping speed, right? But the agentic one would be able to check into the system and check policies and see if they can do that for you. All those things I just described are something that if you were talking to a human or a live agent, they would have done for you. But again, it takes time. They have to find it. They might have to get approvals. And you're taking a human's time, right? When this is something you could self-service. And so that's the beauty of it, is that while, you know, that's a very important workflow for you, it's something that can be handled with the existing information and can be handled immediately for you. You don't have to wait for anybody to help you.
The great thing about how Rita explains all of this is that it never stays abstract. It's always about real problems like waiting on hold, filling out the same form twice, talking to a system that doesn't remember who you are. Agentic AI changes all of that. But here's the part that I find even more interesting, is that it's not just one AI doing everything, it's actually a team with a hierarchy and roles and a coordinator at the top. And Rita breaks that down next.
Agentic AI really is just, it's an artificial intelligence system that can act proactively and autonomously, but it's really acting towards a defined goal, and it's really acting on behalf of humans still. So while it can make decisions on its own, it can act, it can look at the context of the situation, it really is still bounded by ethical guidelines and principles that humans put in place, because there are things that we decide are okay for a machine to do for us. But there are thresholds, right? We still set thresholds for security and things like that. So while it has autonomy to do these things and make decisions and send out tasks and ask for approvals, the speed of the ability for it to do that and to predict what it should be doing and what it should be asking and planning that that workflow is really the autonomy where it comes into play. So if it's a read activity, it can maybe be autonomous. It doesn't have to ask, can I go read this policy? Can I summarize the policy? It's not creating anything. It's not generating anything. It's not changing anything without permissions. But the more and more we let the systems do these things, where we as humans will trust that they're doing the right thing. And so we'll give them more autonomy over time. We'll say, okay, you can do these things and you can do these things. And I'm okay with this. You've repeated it enough times and your success threshold is a certain state that we are comfortable with giving these lower level tasks over to machines. But we always build in safeguards. Right. So one of the principles is that we can't, we don't want to allow anything that's not reversible, nothing that a human can't review or a human can't edit. Critical high risk situations are not things that we would push to autonomy.
So how do agents know what they're allowed to do? And when do they need to ask permission?
There is the Now Assist system that we talk to, right? That's our interface layer. It's our engagement layer with AI. But behind the Now Assist interface is an orchestrator and a team of AI agents that are working. And so there is this hierarchy kind of where it's like, you know, hey, Now Assist, I need this thing, or help me with this incident, or help me replace my computer. And so it knows based on intent and intelligence that this is something that's going to require a little bit more complex task, or it's going to require a deterministic flow, and it can help decide. But when it's those complex situations, the orchestrator actually creates a plan. This is agentic kicking into gear here, where then it like actually picks the right agents to put together this, you know, team basically for you, so that they'll go off and do what they're good at. So the agents are made to do very specific tasks, use specific tools. They use workflows. They use scripts. They talk to each other outside the system. But the orchestrator at ServiceNow is really kind of wrangling them, picking the right ones for the right job,
and then putting them in the order where we'll get the data sequenced back so that we can give the human back the right answer.
The way that we're building these here at ServiceNow is that we create out-of-the-box agents that are good at these different industries, right? HR and CSM and technology workflows. And then our business units also create ones that are even better specifically for their verticals too. And so they know, these agents already know a lot about what's going on with that customer, what's going on with that industry, how to use our tools and our workflows. And so, yes, those agents are pre-built for those specific use cases.
Okay. And then the next level is the orchestrator, correct?
Yes. So coordinating those and picking the right ones is the orchestrator. So if you think of like a pyramid, it's like the orchestrator's at the top. He has to pick the agents, and then the agents pick the tools of what they're going to use to do the job.
So that's the map, with the orchestrator at the top and specialist agents underneath and tools at the base. But knowing the architecture is different from seeing what it can actually do in practice. And here at ServiceNow, visiting researcher Amrutha Ramesh built an agent called Agent Ada. And Agent Ada was designed to solve one of the most common problems in enterprise analytics. You've got tons of data, and you can pull all kinds of statistics from it, but what your team actually needs is something they can act upon. And here's Amrutha explaining how Agent Ada works.
So this idea came from a very simple problem. So we know that data is everywhere, and there are so many people who spend hours exploring data sets just to answer some, you know, very basic questions, right? So we wanted to cut down that time, and we wanted to see if, you know, we could have an LLM automate this process. So we are just talking about some writing a bunch of code, right? But we want LLMs to actually understand why a certain analysis would make sense.
What makes Agent Ada different than just me going into ChatGPT or Gemini and, of course, analyze this data set for me?
That's a very, it's a great question. And, you know, that actually goes to the heart of why we actually built Agent Ada. So as you said, if you just go simply and ask a general purpose LLM, right? Maybe a ChatGPT or something, to go analyze a data set, it would probably run some very simple algorithm, like, you know, run a regression, and it will throw you a bunch of plots. But it wouldn't have a real sense of what matters in the data, why a certain pattern is significant, or how to actually connect different findings into a good narrative and tell a story about the data, right? But that's what most teams and services in many places would actually require. But Agent Ada goes much deeper. It actually reasons about the data set. How it does is it would first start by understanding what's the goal of this analysis. That's probably the first step a data analyst or a data scientist would do, right? So by goal, I mean it could be some, analyzing how a product metric would change, or if it's about spotting a risk early, or it could be about planning next quarter strategy and whatever, right? And the next step would be to understand who's the user. What does the user need? Why does the user want to analyze this data? Basically, the person of the user. The Agent Ada understands these two things very well. And then it using its knowledge bank or, you know, curated library of skills or a different set of data analytics algorithms, it selects the right analytical approach, and then it starts digging up interesting stuff from the data, right? So by interesting stuff, I just don't mean just pointing out, hey, look at this, X and Y are related. But it shows how the relationship or how the link actually shifts some important KPI, or by an odd pattern could matter for, you know, real business decisions. So for businesses, Agent Ada can actually give answers that the business can take it up and, you know, make decisions with. It basically turns some raw analysis into actionable insights. And that's what most teams in ServiceNow and others actually need.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because the same data tells a completely different story, depending on, of course, who's asking.
So that's what the goal does. And then the persona. So the persona here actually takes the whole analysis one step further. So if you think about it, right, a same insight cannot be applicable for two different people. Let's say, you know, a data scientist and a product manager.
Right. Two totally different opposing viewpoints on everything. I'm smart. I want to make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. two totally different groups.
Yeah. So in some sense, personalization is like a necessary thing, right? For a data analysis to be, you know, more suitable. So that's crucial for adaptation, you know, adoption in real products as well. So in a business setting, the same question, say, why did revenue dip last quarter? Can have different answers depending on who's asking. Yeah, product manager might need some actionable levers to pull, while data scientists might just want like a full causal breakdown of why this happened. So personal information helps Azure Data tailor not just what analysis it runs, but how it actually presents the results. That's where the difference comes from, right? A data scientist persona might trigger more detailed statistical tests and modeling steps, while a business analyst persona might focus on KPIs, trends, and clear recommendations. The underlying data is the same, but the framing, depth, and the language all are, you know, adaptable to the audience. You see Azure Data as just the beginning of a bigger shift towards, you know, agentic intelligence and systems that don't just respond to queries, but systems that can plan, reason, and adapt like real analysts. So we're already working on extending it with projects like Insight Arena, which can automatically generate benchmarks to keep improving these kind of agents. And we're also talking to product teams. We're talking to different multiple product teams. And the next step is to bring Agent Ada into real workflows. We want to embed it into enterprise data platforms and analytics dashboards. The idea is that anyone, regardless of their technical skill, should be able to ask questions about their data and get deep, actionable insights instantly.
Agent Ada is a great picture of what's possible, but it raises a question I think that every leader has to sit with. How do you actually know if what your AI is telling you is true? Not just plausible sounding, but factually accurate, deep enough to act upon, and verifiable. And that's the problem research scientist Issam Laraji and product manager Anitha Raghavan set out to solve with a project called Insight Bench. And what they found is that building good AI is only half the job. The other half, of course, is building the systems that keep it honest.
We found that a lot of the AI-generated insights today are too shallow. So they might show some correlations, but they don't really tell you why it matters or what to do about it, like the actionability of it. So we thought that in order to improve the AI analytics capabilities, we need a benchmark that measures the insight quality, not just the accuracy, but also the depth and the actionability. So that's how we want to push the tech forward.
When you have all this information, I'm assuming there's this assumption that all this data makes sense and can easily be actionable, but you need a benchmark, correct? So how does that benchmark get formed or planned? Explain this benchmarking concept.
Yeah, so just to give context about like this benchmark was that we used to rely on humans to evaluate these AI-generated insights. They generated manually. But when you do it manually, it's very slow, expensive, and hard to scale. But now we have some nice recent advances in large language models or in AI capabilities, and we realized that we could use AI to evaluate AI. So we use AI to evaluate AI's ability to create insights. So we built a framework, the benchmark, that automates this insight evaluation while still reflecting the human-level expectation of making sure that the insights are of quality. So this is where Insight Bench was born, as a reliable, scalable benchmark for AI-generated business insights.
So we collaborated very closely with the research team, not only just to develop those insights for, say, these large data sets, like think of the complexity of how the what you find in healthcare or telecom. So it's not just the goal of just producing those insights, but making sure that they are meaningful and they are being evaluated for their correctness. So that's where this insights, not only just generating the insights comes in, but also how do you evaluate it and what methodology to use. And that's where Issam's Insights Bench come into play. So the real challenge for us was not you know, just making sense of data, but also guiding the users to take right actions based on those accurate insights. After all, you know, staring at data all day without knowing what to do next is definitely not enjoyable. And also, you know, looking at wrong insights is not correct either. So we just wanted to make sure that we provide those accurate insights. And that's where eSIM's work and ours kind of come into play.
So what does the scale of this actually look like? Here they talk about some numbers.
For like industries, let's say there's a technician who needs to classify work orders, but the technician wants to be efficient without compromising any service quality. So while the technician is classifying the work orders, we can use AI to pre-fill, let's say, 60% of the task details. So this could potentially reduce processing time by, let's say, 2 to 5 minutes per job. So let's say annually, if we have 2.5 million work orders, that can translate over 200,000 hours saved, which is perhaps could be the equivalent of adding 100 full-time technicians. So that's a lot. So that's a use case for like industries and organization. But for a more like a common use case could be, let's say you're a middle-income person looking to optimize your monthly expenses. You can ask the AI agent, how can I cut costs without sacrificing any quality of life? So the agent can potentially look at mobile usage, food delivery habits, maybe your bank data, maybe special discounts in different supermarkets, and then tells you, oh, if you switch to this plan, you'll have $15 monthly savings. Just consolidate your food delivery orders on maybe Tuesdays because that's where the discounts are, and so on. And then you'll have a very actionable insight from this data.
It's not just generating those insights, right? How are you going to evaluate those insights that got generated? Are they accurate? Are they factual? That's where all these insight bench capabilities come into play.
So there are some evaluation mechanisms that we have tried out where, like, if it generates an insight, there's a chance that it's the model is lying, give you like numbers that are hallucinated. So we have some checks to verify if that backtrack, like given that outputted insight, can we backtrack and find that value in the original source? So we have mechanisms of that to make sure if the insights are truthful or not.
All right, so let's recap everything. Rita gave us the foundation, what agentic AI is, how we got here from basic automation, and how the orchestrator and agents hierarchy works at ServiceNow. Amrutha showed us what that looks like in practice, an agent that doesn't just retrieve data, but understands your goal, knows your role, and delivers a story your team can actually use. So there you have it, the whole elevator pitch, from the high level all the way down to the ground floor. If you're interested in learning more about agentic AI, head over to servicenow.com for more information. And of course, check out the show notes for links to those past episodes to hear a little bit more in-depth conversation from our guests. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.